Welcome, dumbheads, to MDC, Mega Dumbcast. In this podcast, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Ninjas and Super Spies to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is the revised Ninjas and Super Spies 7th printing from May 2000. Today we're discussing page 125 of Ninjas and Super Spies, and you know, it's been 125 pages of ninjas and super spies. We've talked a lot about skills. We've talked a lot about different martial arts styles. We've talked a lot about optional cybernetic parts that almost none of the characters in this game can have. We've talked about rules for creating rocket ships, about the theoretical impossibility of a human being being morally neutral. We've talked about exactly how much time it takes in therapy to overcome your hatred of women. And we've talked exhaustively about the many random effects that hard street drugs can have on the human mind and body. Now, at last, on page 125, we turn the page to see, in a big heading right at the top of the page, hand-to-hand combat. Oh, what a surprise. We're going to get rules for fighting hand-to-hand in this game about ninjas and super spies. I had almost lost hope. Now, conventional game design would probably have put these rules for hand-to-hand combat nearer the beginning of the book, before little subsystems like, you know, how to construct a super vehicle, probably before the exhaustive and voluminous descriptions of martial arts styles that you can't understand without having read this section. But as we'll see, they're not really rules in the standard RPG sense. It's more like a rambling elevator pitch from a game designer about how it's supposed to work. It's a lot of little kind of bullet point lists that go off the rails. It's a lot of examples that don't seem to quite fit together. A lot of promises of things to be filled in later that then aren't. As something of a game designer myself, I have an awful lot of text documents on my computer right now that look a lot like this section. And I feel they were probably written in the same way. Which is to say, someone got really excited about ninjas, wrote down rules about doing ninja stuff off the top of their head until they got hungry for a burrito and quit. Which is what I'm going to do after I'm finished recording podcasts for the day. The top half of this page is not rules at all, but an illustration of a gentleman with a gi and an afro doing some kind of jump kick toward an older man with a bow staff. The illustration is nice enough, except for the fact that based on the angle of this jump kick, it appears to be aimed about a car length to the right of the intended victim. Or maybe these two aren't fighting. Maybe they're both working together and about to lay the smackdown on somebody who is off-panel to the right. Beneath the illustration, we get the beginning of this game's best effort at explicit rules for combat. It's a noble effort. They're organized step by step, and each step offers an example of combat between these two characters named Bruno and Keijo, who have an ongoing battle through the examples in this book. We may talk a little about Bruno and Keijo another time, but for now what I want to talk about is just the overview, because this page gives you the five basic steps to combat in this game. First, you roll 20-sided dice for initiative, for the round, mind you. Not for the entire combat, but just for the one melee round. Then a strike roll, then a parry or dodge roll to avoid the attack, then a damage roll if the attack hits, then a roll with punch roll to reduce the damage you've just rolled from the attack. That much information is in the introduction to this section, before the rules are even described in any sort of detail. Before step one in the combat flowchart. And already, this is a borderline unplayable pain in the ass. Like, you wouldn't need to know anything more about the combat system if you actually do the math on it than what is presented in the chapter opening summary to know this bullshit's not going to work. Let me give you a concrete example. In the back of this book, no spoilers, but there is a mook type character for an organization described in this book. It's a first-level martial artist, a first-level practitioner of Taekwondo. Let's talk about the simplest case of combat you could basically have in this game, which is two first-level practitioners of a straightforward art like Taekwondo in a fight. Well, the first thing to know is that, as I mentioned before, every melee round has a separate roll for initiative. So, okay, that's two die rolls to start the round, and then we have to roll again next round. Now, every attack is going to involve quite a few dice rolls, assuming that the defenses don't successfully defend. We're dealing with a strike roll, a defense roll, parry or dodge, a damage roll, and a roll to roll with punch. So that's four dice rolls. involved in each action. Note that I didn't say turn or round, but each action. Now, these first level little baby Taekwondo masters have four actions per melee round. Each of those actions involves four die rolls, which is 16 die rolls per character. There are two characters, so we double that to 32 rolls. We add the two for initiative. That's 34 die rolls to simulate 15 seconds of in-game combat between two of the simplest possible characters. Now, if we dip into Taekwondo, one of the nice things we find about Taekwondo is that it actually has a pretty damaging move. Once per round, you can do a roundhouse kick that does 2d6 damage, and the other rounds, Taekwondo Master use something like a regular kick attack, do maybe a d8 of damage. So assuming all of their many, many kicks hit, their average damage output for the round is like 7 for the roundhouse kick, plus an average of 4.5 for each of the kicks. Anyway, when you compare that to the hit points in the SDC of these characters, what you'll find is, even if all their kicks hit, they can't take each other down in a single round. Even one more roundhouse kick can't do it. They're going to need another kick to get through all that SDC and those hit points. That means we're going to have to enter another melee round, which involves two more dice rolls. And then we're going to have, like, two more actions each. Well, two for one of them and one for the other, who gets knocked out before he can take his second action. We were already at 34. Initiative takes us to 36. Player 1's action takes us to 40. Player 2's action takes us to 44. Player 1's second action takes us to 48. At which point, assuming that every parry or dodge failed, that every attempt to roll with punch and reduce damage failed, in other words, that damage output has been optimal, then what we have is a combat that has lasted about 22 seconds of in-game time and has required 48 dice rolls. Now, obviously, this is an unrealistic situation. Role-playing games aren't really played with just two players each playing a character. There's typically a party. Now, Palladium games often have pretty big parties, but let's just assume the minimum, realistically, that you would have playing Ninjas and Super Spies. Two hapless players, each playing first-level characters, like these Taekwondo guys, and then they're in a fight against... Now, you would love to do the classic thing with, like, the hordes of ninjas that the player characters, you know, go back-to-back, double dragon style, and take them down, but that's not feasible. Let's have a two-person horde of mooks, one per player. Let's just try to get that, you know, locked down first. So it's two first-level characters versus two first-level NPCs. Random thugs all practicing a simple art like Taekwondo. That's going to double our number of dice rolls to 96, and it's unrealistic to assume that every single defense and every single roll with punch over the course of 96 rolls is going to fail. Let's assume that one time someone manages to successfully roll with punch and half the damage. That's going to extend combat by one action, as there's going to need to be an additional kick in there somewhere. That extra four dice rolls for one action is going to put us over the top, and we're going to have a fight that takes 22 seconds of time in the game world, involves two player characters and the GM playing two thugs, and requires us to roll the dice literally 100 times. I was in a creative writing class once, and sort of this classroom tangent came up about, like, how fast can you type? You know, if you're in the business of, like, writing multiple novels per month, how fast can you accurately type to get all of that content on paper? And I volunteered to the conversation, like, if the limiting factor on how fast you can write a novel is how fast you can physically hit the buttons on your keyboard, there's a problem with your novel that goes beyond, you know, time management. The bloat of the Palladium combat system is approaching the point where the speed with which people can find and roll their dice physically is actually becoming an impediment to playing this game. I mean, we've already hit 100 dice rolls for a combat that lasts less than two rounds and a PC group that only has two players in it. If we're dealing with a large group, like six player characters, we're rapidly approaching 150 dice rolls per round in the optimal scenario where the damage is done, the mooks go down, everybody's happy, and you move on, assuming that there's time left in the day. The fact that a two-on-two fight between speckly-faced teenage white belts at a Taekwondo dojo would require 100 die rolls to resolve is not only the dumbest thing on this page, but probably the greatest practical obstacle to actually playing a Palladium game. This is the sort of thing that turns people off of role-playing when they have their first experience with it, and Palladium richly deserves the abuse that has been heaped upon it for this shitty system. So that's all you're going to hear about the general stuff, my, you know, serious business game design criticism of Palladium. Next time we'll get into something a little more persnickety and punchline heavy on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the podcast wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Ninjas and Super Spies, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Ciambietta. This slightly annoying theme song is Cartoon Battle by Kevin MacLeod, whose work you can find at Incompetech.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.